Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In Radha Desha, the part of Bengal where the Ganges is not visible, Nityananda Prabhu, Ganga Das Pandit, Murari Gupta and Mukunda took birth. Purport. It's a very long purport, so it's going to take us almost half the class to read it. But it is very illuminating because it tells us a lot about this place where Nityananda Prabhu was born, which is in Radha Desha. It is the Ekachakra village. So the whole purport is practically about Ekachakra and the surrounding areas. Purport. Here, Radha Deshe refers to the village of the name Ekachakra in the district of Birbhum, next to Burdwan. After the Burdwan railway station, there is another branch line which is called the Loop Line of the Eastern Railway, and there is a railway station of the name Mallarpura. 8 miles east of this railway station, Ekachakra village is situated. Ekachakra village extends north and south for an area of about 8 miles. Other villages, namely Veerachandrapura and Veerbhadrapura, are situated within the area of the village of Ekachakra. In honor of the holy name of Veerbhadra Goswami, these places are renowned as Veerachandrapura and Veerbhadrapura. In the Bengali year 1331, a thunderbolt struck the temple of Ekachakra Gram. Therefore, the temple is now in a broken state. Before this, there were no such accidents in that quarter. Within the temple, there is a deity of Sri Krishna established by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The name of the deity is Bankim Rai or Banka Rai. On the right side of Bankim Rai is a deity of Jahnava, and on his left side is Srimati Radharani. The priests of the temple describe that Lord Nityananda Prabhu entered within the body of Bankim Rai, and that the deity of Jahnava Mata was therefore later placed on the right side of Bankim Rai. Afterwards, many deities were installed within the temple. On another throne within the temple are deities of Muralidhar and Radha Madhava. On another throne are deities of Mano Mohana, Vrindavan Chandra and Gaur Nitai. But Bankim Rai is the deity originally installed by Nityananda Prabhu. On the eastern side of the temple is a ghat known as Kadamba Khandi, on the bank of the Yamuna. And it is said that the deity of Bankim Rai was floating in the water, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu picked him up and then installed him in the temple. Thereafter, in a place known as Bhaddapura, in the village of Veerachandrapura, about half a mile west, in a place underneath a neem tree, Srimati Radharani was found. For this reason, Radharani of Bankim Rai was known as Bhaddapurer Thakurani, the mistress of Bhaddapura. On another throne on the right side of Bankim Rai is a deity of Yogamaya. Now the temple and temple corridor rest on a high plinth, and on a concrete structure in front of the temple is a meeting hall. It is also said that on the northern side of the temple there was a deity of Lord Shiva named Bhandishwara, and that the father of Nityananda Prabhu, Hadai Pandit, used to worship that deity. At present, however, the Bhandishwara deity is missing, and in his place a Jagannath Swami deity has been installed. Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not factually construct any temples. The temple was constructed at the time of Virabhadra Prabhu. In the Bengali year 1298, the temple being in a dilapidated condition, a brahmachari of the name Shivananda Swami repaired it. In this temple, there is an arrangement to offer foodstuffs to the deity on the basis of 17 sears of rice and necessary vegetables. The present priestly order of the temple belongs to the family of Gopijana Vallabhananda, one of the branches of Nityananda Prabhu. There is a land settlement in the name of the temple. An income from this land finances the expenditures for the temple. There are three parties of priestly Goswamis who take charge of the temple management one after another. A few steps onward from the temple is a place known as Vishramatala, where it is said that Nityananda Prabhu in his childhood used to enjoy sporting in various pastimes of Vrindavan and the pastime of Ras Leela with his boyfriends. Near the temple is a place named Amalitala, which is so named because of a big tamarind tree. According to a party named Nedadi Sampradaya, Virabhadra Prabhu, with the assistance of 1200 Nedas, dug a great lake of the name Shweta Ganga. Outside of the temple are tombs of the Goswamis, and there is a small river known as Maureshwara, which is called the water of Yamuna. Within half a mile from this small river is the birthplace of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. It appears that there was a big meeting hall in front of the temple, but later it became dilapidated. It is now covered by banyan trees. Later on, a temple was constructed within which Gaur Nityananda deities are existing. The temple was constructed by the late Prasanna Kumar Kara Parma. A tablet was installed in his memory in the Bengali year 1323 in the month of Vaishak. The place where Nityananda Prabhu appeared is called Garbhavas. There is an allotment of about 43 bighas of land to continue the worship in a temple there. The Maharaj of Dinajpur donated 20 bighas of land in this connection. It is said that near the place known as Garbhavas, Hadai Pandit conducted a primary school. The priests of this place listed in a genealogical table were as follows. 1. Sri Raghava Chandra. 2. Jagadananda Das. 3. Krishna Das. 4. Nityananda Das. 5. Ram Das. 6. Vrajamohan Das. 7. Kanai Das. 8. Gaura Das. 9. Shivananda Das. 10. Haridas. Krishna Das belonged to the Chidiya Kunja at Vrindavan. The date of his disappearance is Krishna Janmashtami. Chidiya Kunj is a place now managed by the Goswamis of Shingar Ghat in Vrindavan. They are also known as belonging to the Nityananda family, most probably on the basis of their relationship with Krishna Das. Near Garbhavas is a place called Bakulatala, where Sri Nityananda Prabhu and his boyfriends used to take part in sporting activities known as Jhala Jhapeta. There is a Bakula tree there that is wonderful because all its branches and sub-branches look like the hoods of serpents. It has been suggested that by the desire of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Anantadev manifested himself in that way. The tree is very old. It is said that formerly it had two branches, but later on, when the playmates of Nityananda Prabhu felt inconvenience in jumping from one branch to another, Nityananda Prabhu, by his mercy, merged the two branches into one. Another place nearby is the Hantugada. It is said that Lord Nityananda Prabhu brought all the holy places there. Therefore, the people in the surrounding villages go there instead of to the Ganges to take bath. It is named Hantugada because Sri Nityananda Prabhu used to perform the Dadhi Chida festival of distributing chipped rice with yogurt prasad there, and he took the prasad kneeling down. A sanctified lake in this place is always full of water throughout the year. A great fair is held there during the Goshtashtami, and there is another big fair on the birthday of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, it is described that Halayudha, Baladev, Vishwaroop, and Sankarshan appeared as Nityananda Avadhuta. So that's the end of the purport. It seems this is a very old edition, 74. There have been some further editions after this in which some corrections have been made. So I suggest we have a later edition, because there are some things here which need to be added in the purport and so on. Please repeat the translation. In Radha Desha, not Radha Desha, in Radha Desha, the part of Bengal where the Ganges is not visible, Nityananda Prabhu, Ganga Das Pandit, Murari Gupta, and Mukunda took birth. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataro Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद। जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद। जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद। जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा। So in this chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is narrating the background for the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has mentioned in the earlier verses that the eternal associates of Krishna appear with Krishna, and sometimes they appear before Krishna, and a few may appear after Krishna, depending on whether they are playing the roles of his superiors or his contemporaries in his pastimes here. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he sent his associates, or some of them, before, prior to his advent here. And there were his superiors like Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi, Madhavendra Puri, and so on. So having described that, and a few other associates, now he speaks about some other very important associates, namely Nityananda Prabhu, Gangadas Pandit, Murari Gupta, and Mukunda. And this purport is exclusively dedicated, and understandably, to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And Kaviraj Goswami mentions here that these exalted personalities who are mentioned here were born in the tract of land known as Radha Desha. Now the word Radha Desha, as I mentioned in the beginning, is not to be confused with Radha Desh. They are two completely different words. Radha is of course Srimati Radharani. Where does this word Radha come from? Does anyone know? Radha. What is the word from which this comes? Yes, Adikartha Prabhu. Sorry? Worship. Yes. Aradhita or Aradhana. Aradhita. That's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We won't go into the details of that. But Aradhana is worship. And Radharani is the topmost worshipper of Krishna. So from the word Aradhita, by whom she was worshipped, then the word Radha comes. So sometimes when people say that Radharani's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Gaudiya Acharyas point out that it is mentioned, but in a hidden way, in that particular verse where Aradhita is mentioned. So anyway, that is Radha. Whereas here is Radha. And actually, as Srila Prabhupada explains in a purport to another verse in the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the word Radha is actually a corruption of the word Rashtra, which means state. So originally, the word was Rashtradesh, but gradually in the local language or the dialect it became corrupted and became Radhadesh. That's how this term has come. It's also called, as Prabhupada mentions, Paundradesh. And that also became corrupted into Pendodesh. You know, it always happens like that. As time goes by in the local dialects, the words change and get corrupted and become something completely different. So Radhadesh is the place, as Prabhupada mentions in the translation here, where the Ganges is not visible or where it doesn't flow. The Ganges plays a very important part in the geography and topography and indeed the life of the people of Bengal. But there is a certain part of Bengal where the Ganga does not flow, and that is called the Radhadesh. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in Katwa, then he immediately headed for Vrindavan. He was in an ecstatic trance of devotion. And from the external or material point of view, he didn't know what he was doing and where he was going. All he knew was he was heading to Vrindavan. And Kaviraj Goswami mentions at several places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Mahaprabhu wandered in this ecstatic trance for 3 days continuously in Radhadesh. Finally, Nityananda Prabhu tricked him into coming to the Ganga by telling him that this was the Yamuna. Now the Radhadesh is on the western side of the Ganga. And Nityananda Prabhu told him that this is the Yamuna. So believing Nityananda Prabhu's words to be true, Mahaprabhu agreed to be led to that place. And eventually they crossed the river and came to Shantipur, which was the place of Advaita Acharya. And it was there, upon seeing Advaita Acharya, that Mahaprabhu realized that he had been tricked by Nityananda Prabhu. And he asked Advaita Acharya, "How come you are here? How come you came to Vrindavan?" Because Mahaprabhu was all along in his ecstatic trance thinking that he had reached Vrindavan and that this was Yamuna. And naturally then he wanted to give the sauce to Nityananda Prabhu. So he said, "Nityananda, you've cheated me. You said this was Yamuna, but actually it's the Ganga." And Nityananda Prabhu said, "No, I didn't cheat you." He said, "You see, at Prayag, the Ganga and the Yamuna meet. The Ganga comes from the eastern side and Yamuna comes from the western side. The two waters mix and flow along. So the waters that flow on the western side of the Ganga, the western bank of the Ganga, that's the Yamuna. The waters of the Yamuna flow, so I did not lie to you." So anyway, those pastimes happened in Radhadesh. And within this Radhadesh, at different places, these personalities appeared. And specifically, Srila Prabhupada is referring to the village of Ekachakra. And Prabhupada gives so many geographical details. Usually, Prabhupada's purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita are based quite a lot on the purports of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is very meticulous in his purports. He gives very great details of geographical locations and railway stations and how many miles each are in some places, latitudes, and maybe I don't know. So he's very particular because these are serious documents. These are not just ordinary works. So the commentators are very careful to write certain details which will be there always for posterity. So Ekachakra is the village where, in the district of Birbhum, where Nityananda Prabhu appeared. Of course, Ekachakra has a long history also. How many of you have been to Ekachakra? Okay, quite a few. The word Ekachakra, Ek means one, and Chakra means a wheel. So there's a history behind this name. One time in the battle of Kurukshetra, and of course we all know about this episode, when Bhishma forced Krishna to break his vow. What was Krishna's vow? That he would not lift a weapon in the battle. He would merely be the charioteer of Arjuna. But because by Krishna's tricks, Bhishma was made to break his vow of wanting to kill the five Pandavas with certain five arrows which he had deposited for safekeeping with Duryodhan, and which Arjuna then went at Krishna's behest and took from Duryodhan. So Bhishma said to Krishna that you made me break my vow, and I'm going to make you break your vow. And because a devotee is stronger than Krishna, so therefore Bhishma emerged victorious. So Bhishma was able to make Krishna break his vow. And Bhishma fought so ferociously that Arjuna was basically left stranded. And Krishna realized that it was the make or break situation. It was now or never. And if he did not intervene in the battle at this stage by lifting a weapon, then everything would be over. And the only weapon he had at hand was the broken wheel of Arjuna's chariot. So he lifted that wheel in both his hands, raised the wheel above his head, and ran towards Bhishma to attack him with it. And Bhishma, as soon as he saw Krishna coming in that fashion, was blissful. First, because he had made Krishna break his vow. And second, because now Krishna would personally be attacking him, maybe killing him. So he put down his weapons and he looked on with great devotion at the Lord. Meanwhile, Arjuna was frantic. He panicked. He said, Krishna, you can't break your vow. What are people going to say? So he ran after Krishna and he held on to him. He held on to his legs so that Krishna couldn't move. And Krishna was furiously trying to release himself from Arjuna's grasp. But Arjuna held on tightly. And then when Bhishma offered beautiful prayers to Krishna, then Krishna was somewhat pacified. And he threw off the wheel. He just flicked it away. But of course for Krishna, flicking away a wheel is so easy. It's not that the wheel just fell a few feet away. It went many thousands of miles away. And it landed in this place in Radhadesh. And that's why the place got the name Eka Chakra, because that one wheel fell here. So it was called Eka Chakra. And sometime before that, some years before that, Bhima and the Pandava, his brothers, and Mother Kunti had also come here to this place. And they had lived here. This is when they were in exile. And they were supposed to be incognito. And the condition was that if their identity was revealed at any point in time, then they would have to repeat the entire 12 years of exile. So they were very careful to hide their identity in this period of exile. So they came to this village, and very kindly one Brahmin family gave them shelter. So they were living in their premises. And one day, Mother Kunti heard some arguments going on in the house within the family members of this Brahmana. And she went there and she overheard all the four members. There was a Brahmana and his wife, and then they had a daughter and a son. And all four of them were arguing with each other. The Brahmana said, I will go because I am the head of the family. And the wife said, No, you must look after everybody, so I will go. Then the daughter said, no, actually you should not go, I will go. The son similarly said that. So each one of them was saying, I will go, not you. So Kunti Maharani did not quite understand what was going on. So she asked him, why are you quarreling and arguing? What is the matter? So then they told her the whole story, that there was a big demon who lived in the outskirts of the village. His name was Bakasur. He's not the same Bakasur who was in Vrindavan and who was killed by Krishna. This is another Bakasur. And he was a mighty demon, very, very strong and undefeatable. So he lived there and he was creating havoc in the amongst the residents of the village and the kingdom as a whole. So ultimately the king of that place, he arrived at an understanding with the demon that he would not indiscriminately kill his subjects. So the agreement was that every day one member of the village would carry a cartload full of food for the demon to eat to satisfy his hunger. And that's how much Bakasur needed. And the demon would eat the cartload of food, and he would eat the oxen that drove the that pulled the cart, and he would also eat the person, the human being who drove the cart and brought the food there. So every day one family by turn would sacrifice one individual, and that was going on for quite some time. And this time, the next day, it was the turn of this family. And the family members were arguing about who it is who would go with the bullock cart. So Kunti said, "No, no, 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 none of you should go. You're such a small family. And I will send my son. My son Bhima is very powerful." Oh, of course, she didn't mention Bhima. She said, "My son is very strong. He can go." He said, "No, no, 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 we don't want your son to die." But he said, "No, my son is very strong, you don't know." Because Kunti was well aware of Bhima's prowess. And she said, "In any case, I have 5 sons. So it doesn't matter. Even if one dies, I have 4 sons left. But you have only 2 children." So anyway, somehow or the other, she managed to convince the family. And Bhima was only too happy. It had been rather boring. You know, no demons to kill and no excitement, no adventure. And so Bhima was rubbing his hands in glee when his mother, you know, very reluctantly came and told him that. And she said, "Oh, well, wonderful, wonderful." So he got the cartload of the food was ready in the cart. And Bhima was joyously singing to himself and driving the cart. And he was in bliss because he was going to experience some action after a long time. And as he went along, he had 2 objectives. One, after a long time he got so much food to eat. And he started eating the food as the cart was going along. And secondly, apart from satiating satisfying his insatiable hunger, he also wanted to provoke the demon further. Because when he would arrive at the demon's place, then the cart would be empty and the demon would be furious. So that is what he wanted. So then Bhima went slowly. He was driving the cart slowly and he kept on eating everything that was in the cart. And by the time he reached the place where the demon Bakasur stayed, the cart was empty. And because he had driven slowly, so he was late. So the demon was as it is furious because the food was late. And now when he saw the cart empty, he was even more furious. And to see Bhima's debonair pose as he sat there, least concerned that he was late and that the cart was empty, the demon became even more furious. And he started hurling abuses and threats at Bhima. And Bhima was just smiling. And then Bhima got into a battle with Bakasura. A furious battle ensued after that. Bakasura was also extremely strong. And Bhima found a good match. But then, ultimately, Bhima was too much for Bakasura. And then Bakasura was killed. And the word spread and everybody came and started praising this son of Kunti. And Kunti and the other Pandavas became alarmed because they knew that a word spread too far that someone had killed Bakasur, and if the description of this person spread, that eventually their identity would be revealed. Because who could single-handedly, or rather with bare hands, kill a demon like Bakasur, unless it was Bhima? So therefore, being alarmed by this situation, they all left that village and went to another place. So this pastime also happened here. As far as Nityananda Prabhu is concerned, what more remains to be said? Of course, the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu are unlimited. But as far as Ekachakra village is concerned, Srila Prabhupada said it all here. It's interesting that there are a couple of points I'll just go over as far as the purport is concerned. One is that Prabhupada mentions that Nityananda Prabhu did not construct any temples. The temple in Ekachakra was constructed by his son, Veerabhadra Goswami. And there are two parts of the village that are named after him. And also, an important point that Prabhupada mentions in the purport is that the deities of Krishna and Radharani were found in different places in that area. Bankim Rai is the name of the deity. Bankim Rai. Anyone knows what the term Bankim Rai indicates? It's the name of Krishna. There was a very famous social reformer in the earlier part of the 20th century, in the late 19th century, with the same name. But unfortunately, he had nothing to do with Krishna. But the name is famous. Can anyone say what the meaning of Bankim Rai is? Why is it a name of Krishna? Anyone? The word Rai means Krishna, it means king, right? And Bankim is also called Banka, means bent. So Krishna has a threefold bending form. So Krishna's form is bent in three places. Which are the three places in which Krishna's form is bent? First is the neck. Second, the waist. And the third, the ankles. Or the knees, rather. So these are the three places where Krishna's beautiful form is bent. So he's also called Tribhanga Lalita in the Brahma Samhita. Or Tribhanga Murari. So we have one of our devotees in Leicester, Tribhangananda Prabhu, yes? So Tribhanga refers to Krishna, who is bent in three places. So in the local language, he's also called Banka. Like in Vrindavan, you have the famous Banke Bihari temple. How many of you have been to the Banke Bihari temple? Yes. So the word Banke is the same thing. Banke means bent. So Bankim means the same thing. And the devotees of Krishna say that Krishna is bent or crooked, not just in his physical form, but also in his dealings. So he acts in very crooked ways in his pastimes in Vrindavan. So anyway, Bankim or Banka. So he's Bankim Rai or Banka Rai, as Prabhupada mentions here. So that deity was found by Nityananda Prabhu. And also the deity of Srimati Radharani was found. And then Radharani and Bankim Rai, they were there. Krishna personally installed, Nityananda Prabhu personally installed the deity of Bankim Rai. And later on, as Prabhupada mentions, it is said that Nityananda Prabhu entered into the deity of Bankim Rai. And because of that, later a deity of Janava Devi was installed on his right. Radharani is on his left. And there are many other places here, including the Garbhavas, the place where Nityananda Prabhu actually appeared. Nityananda Prabhu's father's name was Harai Pandit, and his mother's name was Padmavati. So they lived in this village, Ekachakra, and Nityananda Prabhu performed his childhood pastimes in Ekachakra village. And these pastimes have been beautifully described by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He, along with his friends, enacted many of the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Right from the beginning, from the time when the demigods approached Kshirodakshai Vishnu in the milk ocean, and the Lord said, I will descend. Starting from those pastimes, sequentially going through all of Krishna's pastimes, including his leaving Vrindavan, going to Mathura, and also his pastimes in other incarnations, like the Vamana incarnation and so on. So Nityananda Prabhu would enact all these pastimes. And the residents of Ekachakra would be perplexed to see the not only the nature, the variety of these pastimes, but there were so many details about which even the residents themselves did not know. And they would ask Nityananda Prabhu, who has told you all these details of these pastimes? Where did you hear them from? And young Nitai would say, these are all my transcendental pastimes. And one time he enacted the role of Lakshman. And then one of the boys enacted the role of Ravan. And he threw a flower at him, at Nityananda Prabhu, saying, I am Ravana and here is my arrow, I release it. And when the flower hit Nityananda, then he fell down and became unconscious. Because that is what happened in the battle at Lanka. And he seemed to be dead. And then all the boys panicked and they were crying, Nitai, wake up, wake up. And people around the village heard the commotion and they came running. What happened? And they all panicked also. And everybody was trying to revive him and the boys were just crying, Nitai, Nitai, wake up. And then somebody finally said, I think he's acting. If somebody plays the role of Hanuman and brings a Sanjeevani herb from the Gandhamadan mountain, then he may be revived. Then the boys remembered that Nityananda Prabhu had said that if I should fall down as Lakshman, then somebody should play the role of Hanuman and get these herbs for me and revive me. So one boy suddenly then started playing the role of Hanuman and he wanted to go to the Gandharva mountain. And then another boy played the role of a demon who said, no, you can't go there. He was in the role of an ascetic. You can't go there. You have to first go and take bath. So he went into bath and another demon played the role of a crocodile who tried to attack him. And then Hanuman killed that crocodile. And then he came out, he met another demon, he killed him as well. And finally Hanuman went to that mountain and brought the whole mountain, because he didn't know which herb was the right one. And he brought it and ultimately then Lakshman was revived by smelling that. So when the residents of Ekachakra saw all this, they were struck with wonder. And they didn't know how these little boys could know the details of so many pastimes, some of which were not even mentioned in the Valmiki Ramayana. And of course, Nitai would nod wisely and say, these are all my pastimes. So for the first 12 years of his life, his manifest pastimes, Nityananda Prabhu performed these pastimes over here in Ekachakra. At that time, a wandering mendicant, a sannyasi, came to the house of Hadai Pandit. And when Hadai Pandit asked him for some service, he said, I want your son. And Hadai Pandit felt as if a thunderbolt had struck him. And it was like Dasharatha Maharaj being asked for Ram and Lakshman to go with him by Vishwamitra Muni to fight the demons. So Hadai Pandit was very, very attached to Nitai. And the very thought of letting him go and become a brahmachari with this brahmachari assistant to the sannyasi was just heartbreaking. But nevertheless, he understood the laws of dharma. I don't want you to be afraid the next time you ask a sannyasi for some service, especially if you have a son. But This was the culture in those days. So Hardai Pandit was very cultured. So he submitted to the request. And then Nitai accompanied this sannyasi. And for many years, actually for 20 years, he traveled to different holy places. And finally, when he was about 32, he understood the time had come. Gauranga has come and he has revealed his pastimes. Nityananda Prabhu was many years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he arrived at Navadvip and at a hidden place. Gauranga Mahaprabhu understood that Nitai had arrived. He sent his devotees in search of Nitai. They could not find him. Finally, it was Gauranga Mahaprabhu who came and found Nityananda Prabhu. And then Gaur Nitai became an inseparable pair. So we'll stop here now. Hare Krishna, Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai.